Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Aqeedah class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. For those of you who are new, we started this class a couple of weeks ago, or rather I should say in last year, and we did the previous book of Aqeedah, which was Al-Aqeedah Al-Murshida. We had completed that one. So with Monday being the day both for Hadith and for Aqeedah, 1 week we do Aqeedah and 1 week we do Hadith. So last week we had done Hadith, so this week again will be Aqeedah. Now, I mentioned on the forum being www.ummah.com/forum, I mentioned on there that we are going to be starting Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyya tonight. The download link for the kitab is available on the forum. For those of you who want to follow the book from the actual text as we go along, and for those of you who want to simply listen, you can do that too. Any case, like I mentioned, the book we are going to do here is Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyya. This is, I would say, the most famous book of Aqeedah in existence. It's written by Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, and he was a Hanafi. Of course, this kitab is written based on, as you would say, the Hanafi madhab, and yet it's the most famous book of Aqeedah, which is accepted by all groups. This is basically the Aqeedah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So in any case, this book that I had, this particular print which I had given the link to on Ummah Forum, it consists of no more than 16 pages. However, a lot of this is just, as you would term, the matan, the text of the kitab itself. So while translating it, I will also give a little bit of explanation here and there, inshallah, where necessary, and so on and so forth. So in any case, without further ado, we can start the kitab. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. One note before we start, if there's anything at any time during the lesson that you do not understand, you can send in your questions via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. Alright then. So here, if you open the kitab, very first cover page, it says Matnul Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyya, the matan means the actual text of Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyya, which is the name of the book, the Aqeedah of Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, because he is the author. It's written lil Imam Abi Ja'far Al-Tahawi Al-Hanafi, written by Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, who was a Hanafi. Then, of course, Al-Tabi'atul Ula, Al-Maktubul Islami. It's first edition print, and it's printed by Al-Maktubul Islami. Moving on to page 2. This is now the introduction from the printer's side, and not actually part of Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyya itself. But in any case, it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أما بعد فقد امتن الله علينا بطبع عقيدة الإمام الطحاوي مع شرحها للعلامة ابن أبي العز الحنفي وتخريج أحاديثها وتقديمها لأستاذنا المحدث الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني ومعها أيضا التوضيح لإزالة ما أشاعه بعضهم عن طبعتنا وتحت الطبع الآن شرح وتحقيق موجز لهذه العقيدة للشيخ الألباني وقد رأيت أن أفرد متن هذه العقيدة بطبعة خاصة ليس معها أي شرح أو تعليق بعد أن جرى تصحيفها على عدد كبير من المخطوطات والمطبوعات رجاء أن ينفع الله بها عباده في عقيدتهم التي هي أصل دينهم وفيها خيرهم العاجل والآجل راجيا لهم ولنفسي السداد والمغفرة من رب العالمين بيروت رجب 1397 Zuhair Ashawish. So that is the Muqaddimah. He says, Amma ba'd, Allah had given us the ability to print this book of Aqeedah by Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, and what's its explanation by Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, and the takhrij, meaning giving out where the ahadith are all coming from, and in the introduction, it's all been printed on this kitab, not this particular one, but on this kitab printed by the same printing company. They had put the introduction and things by Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, and that's what he said. So therefore the author here, or rather the the person who put the, from the printer side, Zuhair Ashawish, he said, I wanted to just take out the matan, just the text of the kitab itself and print it all on its own, without any explanation, without any footnotes or anything, just the pure kitab, just like that. So he says, hoping that Allah will benefit his servants with it in their aqidah, which is the origin of their deen. Meaning, because aqidah is the most important, it's the bedrock of a person's deen. If your aqidah is corrupt, then everything is corrupt. So in any case, and he says, and in this there will be goodness in this dunya and in the year after. And I ask that Allah keep myself and for the listeners, basically, in this case, all of us, to be steadfast and to forgive us. Okay, we seek the forgiveness of Allah and steadfastness from the Lord of the worlds. Then he wrote it when he was in Beirut, in the Rajab, the year 1397. And the person's name here is Zuhair Ashawish. So in any case, that is now as far as his introduction goes. Now we're starting the actual kitab itself, from page 3 onwards. So he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is now Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah's kitab, the original matan. So he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Qala al-Allamatu Hujjatul Islam Abu Ja'far al-Warraq al-Tahawi bi Misr rahimahullah. This, he says, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Al-Allamah Hujjatul Islam Abu Ja'far al-Warraq al-Tahawi rahimahullah. This is what he had to say, and he mentioned, he narrated this kitab of while he was in Egypt, Bimisr, while he was in Egypt. So he says, هَذَا ذِكْرُ بَيَانِ عَقَيْدَةِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ عَلَى مَذْهَبِ فُقَهَاءِ الْمِلَّةِ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ النُّعْمَانِ بْنِ ثَابِتِ الْكُوفِي وَأَبِي يُوسُفَ يَعْقُوبُ بْنُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْأَنْصَارِ وَأَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ الْحَسَنِ الشَّيْبَانِي رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَمَا يَعْتَقِدُونَ مِنْ أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَيَدِينُونَ بِهِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So he says that this is a recount of the, and an explanation of the aqidah, the creed, the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, according to the madhab of the fuqaha of this nation, the great knowledgeable scholars. Namely, in this case, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, whose real name was An-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi, and Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, whose name was Ya'qub ibn Ibrahim al-Ansari, and Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, whose name was Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn al-Hassan al-Shaybani. So he says, this is an explanation of their aqidah and what they believe of the, as we say, the necessary points of the deen and what they had brought into their lives and what we are supposed to be believing as part of our belief in Allah, Rabbul Alameen. So yeah, as you can see in this book here, he has numbered the points, like you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 here going down the page. So you can make them down as points as we go along. So in any case, number one, he says, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحَيْدِ اللَّهِ مُعْتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ. We say, regarding the tawheed of Allah, believing in and taking with the ability of Allah that Allah has granted us, this is what we have to say. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. That indeed Allah is one with no partners. On this one point alone, you can speak for a very long time on this point where he says, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ. We speak and we say regarding the tawheed of Allah. Tawheed is normally translated, you would find it as the oneness of Allah or the unity of Allah or various other such translations. But tawheed is a very deep word. And that is why you find that the ulama have written very much on this topic of tawheed. For instance, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and incidentally, the sharh of Imam Ibn Abil Aiz al-Hanafi, he uses the same terminologies as Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he had taken tawheed and explained it. He didn't, some people mistakenly, they say Imam Ibn Taymiyyah made his own version of tawheed, but that is incorrect. Okay, just
so in any case, let me start again. He says, نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. That we say regarding the توحيد of Allah, believing and what the ability that Allah has given us. We say that indeed Allah is one without any partners. Now this point of where he says نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ, he starts out this book on the tawheed, the oneness of Allah, as how it's normally translated in English. But tawheed is much more deeper than just that. Tawheed, the ulama have said and written a lot on the topic of tawheed. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he had broken tawheed, rather he had explained tawheed in three different ways in order to make it easy for the people to understand and to make it, as you can say, a more comprehensive answer. That's why he said we have tawheed rububiyya, tawheed uluhiyya or ilahiyya as it's also termed, and tawheed asma wa sifat. This is how Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had divided tawheed. But the tawheed which Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah believed in and what the a'imma before him believed in was exactly the same. It's just a difference of terminologies, but the aqidah itself is the same. So in any case, on this point of tawheed, he starts out this book here starting with tawheed, and what I will be doing is to mention explanation. I will be using, fortunately I could not find a download link online to be able to give you, but in any case this is also from the sharah of Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, Sadruddin Ali Ibn Ali Ibn Muhammad al-Hanafi, who is known simply as Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, and this particular book here is printed in Karachi, and it's got, it's been, as you can say, compiled and with slight additions by Sheikh Muhammad Anwar al-Badakhshani. And I find this sharah of his to be better than the freestanding sharah of Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz rahimahullah. So, because he's put it out in a much nicer way, and there are certain points in the original book of Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz which is not 100% agreed upon, and so things like that have been removed from this book here in particular. So in any case, he say, commenting on this part, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, that indeed Allah is one without any partners. فَأَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ نَبْدَأُ بِهِ هُوَ الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ كَمَا هُوَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَإِبْزَارِ الْقُبُولِ وَإِزْعَانِ لِجَمِيعِ أَحْكَامِهِ. This is the very first thing we start with. That is Iman, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how he is, with all his names and his attributes, and accepting all of his commands. When we believe in Allah, we say the belief in Allah, it's not just, as you can say, believing that Allah exists and that it knows. It's an incumbent upon each and every single person that you believe in every single name and every single attribute that Allah has attributed himself with. So, for instance, when Allah says that he is Khaliq, the creator, then it is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe that Allah is Khaliq. If a person believes Allah is not Khaliq, then he is negating an attribute of Allah. And this would put a person outside the fold of the Ahlu Sunnah, in fact outside the fold of Islam even, for that matter. So, therefore, it is necessary to accept Allah with all of Allah's names and attributes. And then, of course, there's a lot of explanation which is mentioned by Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, and obviously set right by Imam Badakhshani in this kitab, but to go through the entire explanation would then unnecessarily lengthen the discussion. So there'll be parts I'll read here and there from it where there's, okay, the whole kitab is of benefit, but so it's not to say that I only read the points of benefit, but I'll take out just parts here and there which I feel is more necessary than others. So in any case, he starts out here, he says, فَفِي الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ مَرْحَلَتَانِ الْأُولَى الْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مَوْجُودٌ أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا وَالثَّانِيَةُ الْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لا في الذات ولا في الصفات ولا في الأسماء ولا في الأفعال ولا في الأحكام. He says, with regard to Iman, there are two levels of Iman, or rather two parts and portions of Iman that is necessary for you to believe in. Number one, he says, It's the belief that Allah Ta'ala is existing, eternal and everlasting. Meaning that Allah always existed, Allah will always exist, and Allah will never cease to exist. There was never a time before Allah or a time that will be after Allah. Everything else came into existence and things will be destroyed from existence, but Allah alone will always be eternal and everlasting. And the second part is the belief that Allah is alone without any partners. No partners in it, that the being, the actual being of Allah, Allah has no partners in it. وَلَا فِي الصِّفَاتِ, all the qualities of Allah, there are no partners with Allah in any of those qualities. For instance, Allah is Razzaq, Allah is the one who sustains, Allah is the one who helps and things. So there's a fine line that is to be drawn here. Yes, Allah grants us, one person to another, the ability to help one another and things like this in this world. But Allah is the, so it may appear as though you are providing the risk. Rather, you are just the tool and Allah is the one who actually provides the risk, the sustenance for each and every single person. So it becomes, as you would say, a form of shirk. Obviously, it's not quite on the level of what we term as actual shirk, but when a person feels that my boss, it's because of my boss that I have an income, or rather that I get fed thanks to my boss, I get fed thanks to my job, I get fed thanks to my abilities and my skills and my shop and this and that. The reality is that Allah alone is the one who sustains, and all these things, the job, the boss, the shop and whatever other means that we may have, these are all ways and means that Allah employs in order for us in this worldly life to get our sustenance. But all our sustenance comes entirely and totally and solely and only from Allah. So this is on the point of the sifat. And this, the same applies to all the other sifat of Allah, all the other attributes of Allah as well. Then he says, وَلَا فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ, nor with regards to the names of Allah. The names of Allah, we know the 99 names of Allah. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم, like Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And we know that the names like Ar-Rahman, this is a name which is Allah's alone and cannot be applied to anyone whatsoever, not to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or anybody else. And the same applies to all the other names of Allah when the Alif and Lam, the Al, is added to it. So Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, when this Al is added to it, then it only applies to Allah and not to anybody else. But if the Al is gone and it's simply Rahim or Malik and things like this, then it's, or Malik and things, then it's a different story. So, for instance, when Allah mentions in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا أَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Ar-Ra'uf is one of Allah's qualities and Ar-Rahim is one of Allah's qualities. But here, or rather one of Allah's names. And here, Allah says, Ra'uf and Rahim for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, when the Al is added to it in its superlative form, then it only applies to Allah alone. But when it's like this without the Al, and it, as you can say, it now can be applied to anybody, basically, then this one can be used for people. So you do not make any shirk by saying that anybody else is Ar-Rahim or Al-Malik or anything like that of the sort. And then he says, وَلَا فِي الْأَفْعَالِ, nor with regards to the doings. And this is something someone just commented on the other day, and he made a very good point. He said he finds it very distasteful, this term that people use, Mother Nature. In fact, it's a kufr statement to make when you talk about Mother Nature, because the kufar, where this term Mother Nature comes from, this is their various paganism things, where there is this, as you can say, one pagan goddess thing which sees to all the things in nature, the growing of the plants and the grass being green and lush and everything like this. So they grant this ability to this, and therefore it's Mother Nature. This is where it comes from. So, and Allah is the one who makes the grass grow and who makes it green and who makes it lush and who sends down the water for it and everything. So it is a form of shirk, obviously when I use these terms here, shirk is not necessarily that the person will be put outside the fold of Islam for making a statement like Mother Nature. It will be, that's why I say, when I use the terms like kufr and shirk in this lecture here, especially with regards to aqidah, it's not, as you would say, a blanket statement. Except when I say that it is a blanket statement, then in that case it will be. So if there's anything in particular you need to be clarified, then ask on a specific point, and inshallah, I will try and address that in particular. But in any case, so this is what, when it comes to making partners in the af'al, like you have the saint worshippers, where they say that such and such a saint, he sees to the rain coming down and he sends the wind around and things like this. This is all making partners with Allah from an actions perspective, that Allah is the one who does all these things, but now these people are saying that somebody else is doing it instead of Allah. So that's what it says here, that it is incumbent to have iman that Allah has no partners in any of these things. And lastly, wala fil ahkam, nor in any of the rulings of Allah. When it comes to the rule of Allah, in al hukmu illa lillah, the ruling, the judgment is only for Allah. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid down the law for what is right and what is wrong and how things shall be. And this is why democracy is a religion all of itself. It contradicts the law of Allah. And Allah says, أَفَ حُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْهُغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. That do they seek the law of ignorance? أَفَ حُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْهُغُونَ. Is it the law of ignorance that they are seeking? And any law which is outside that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has put down, that is all considered to be the laws of ignorance. Then Allah continues and says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. And who is more better in judgment and making laws than Allah for a people who are believers? So for the believers, Allah is the lawgiver. Allah is the one who makes the laws. And Allah has given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the right, as Allah mentions in the Quran, that يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, that He makes permissible for them that which is pure, and He forbids upon them that which is dirty and, as you say, those dirty evil things. So, things like this, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid down the law. And of course, the fuqaha, the ulama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has mentioned it in the Quran as well, لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُمْ مِنْهُمْ, that those who are able to make istinbat is another term which the ulama use for ijtihad, we would know ijtihad better as a term, so those who are able to do ijtihad, they are able to understand and, as you can say, derive the laws. So Allah says that those who are able to make istinbat, they will know the answer. So Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had laid down the law, and the ulama, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, they had, as you can say, formulated the laws in that manner. But when it comes to democracy and all these other laws of kufr, where somebody else makes a law, whether it's, as they say, the law by the people, of the people, for the people, however they prefer to term democracy, and all these type of things, this is all things which are outside the fold of the law which Allah had laid down. So in any case, this is all with regards to the ahkam, that Allah is the lawmaker and nobody else. No one else has the right to make a law like how the kuffar do. When Allah says, cut off the hand of the thief and stone the adulterer, and now they say, no, it's barbaric to do things like this. And you have some people who claim to be Muslim nowadays who also agree with this, and they make such kufr statements, which this is a type of statement which sends a person outside the fold of Islam, because you are now rebelling against the law of Allah which Allah had laid down. And when you feel that Allah had laid down something which is barbaric and evil and backward, as how many of these people speak, then you leave the fold of Islam and you join those same kuffar that you like so much. And if you do not make tawbah and come back to Islam, then you will be fi nari jahannam khalidina fiha abada, along with all of those kuffar, you will be in the fire of jahannam for all eternity. So Allah is the lawmaker. Like I mentioned, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us what is right and what is wrong, what we have to do, what we must not do, and everything of the sort. And whoever tries and bring a new law to replace the law of Allah, then this is a part, all part and parcel of attributing partners to Allah in the names of Allah, in the attributes of Allah, in the judgments and the laws of Allah, in the doings of Allah, and in the being of Allah, like like for instance, when the Christians say that we believe in Jesus and all these things, this is attributing a new God, as you can say, in its own self. This is the highest form of shirk, to attribute a partner to Allah. But the rest of all these things also fall under some form of shirk that I mentioned here, in the attributes and the names and the doings and the laws of Allah. So in any case, that's just a small point on which has been mentioned in this explanation of Aqidat al-Tahawiyya. Okay, that is when, as far as the very first line we did there now, في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله that إن الله واحد لا شريك له, that Allah, indeed Allah is one without any partners. And like we mentioned now, any partners in any of these things that was mentioned, the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the judgments, the laws of Allah, the doings of Allah, anything and everything else as well. Number two is this, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, and there is nothing like Him. There is nothing like Allah whatsoever. That's why Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah mentions in the Quran that there is nothing like unto Him. And this year is a very important point as well, because from this point stems many of the deviant beliefs where people start making things similarities to Allah. One example is the Mujassima, when they make Tajseem, and the attribute, or as we term it in English, the anthropomorphists, when they attribute bodily parts to Allah, where they liken the qualities of Allah to the creation. So when Allah says that Allah has a yad, which we translate in English as hand, then they make it that Allah has a hand like a human hand, because this is what yad means. It all from linguistics and philosophy, that a hand, it's made out of flesh and blood and limbs, and it's a limb and this and that and everything. So they make the jisim and they liken Allah to certain things. So here with this one we say وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, and there is nothing like unto Allah. Number three, he says وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ, and there is nothing which can, as you can say, incapacitate Allah, which can make Allah weak. Allah is the all-powerful, and everything else is under the power of Allah. There's nothing that can overpower or overwhelm Allah. This is why he says, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. When a person is عَاجِز, it means you are unable to do something. So there is nothing which can make Allah عَاجِز, meaning that can, say, as you can say now, that no, Allah can't do this or can't do that. That's why he says, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. There is nothing whatsoever that can overwhelm Allah. And then number four, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ, and there is no God other than Him. When we say وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ, there is no ilah, there is, in English, ilah is translated as God. Okay, I'll leave, when it comes to the ilah and tawheed, ilahiyya, uluhiyya, and things like that, I'll leave that for a later point, when it actually comes in the kitab, but further itself. So I'll pass on this point here, because what I explained a few moments ago is sufficient for that point in any case. Continuing on now. Number five, he says, قَدِيمٌ قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَى دَائِمٌ بِلَا امْتِهَى, that Allah is قَدِيم, He is eternal,
meaning without a beginning, بِلَا ابْتِدَى, without any beginning. Allah always was, and Allah didn't come into existence. And then he says, دَائِمٌ بِلَا امْتِهَى, that Allah is, and all, as you can say, eternal, دَائِم, forever lasting, bila intiha, without an end. So Allah always, put it in simple English, Allah always existed, and Allah will always exist. Then he says, la yafna wa la yabid, He will never perish, nor come to an end. Wa la yakunu illa ma yurid, and nothing happens except what He wishes.
And this Allah mentions time and again that وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, that what Allah wants, that is what will take place. And Allah is فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ, Allah does whatsoever He wishes. And this وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, obviously, as we understood earlier from when we did what Tawheed is all about, that it's what Allah wants, this is what takes place. Not what I want, or you want, or the next man want. We don't have any power over what happens in the universe. Allah, it's what Allah decides, that this will take place. The wind will blow at this speed. The rain will come. This eclipse will take place. The grass will grow here. The plants will die here. The animals will do this, and the people will do this, or whatever the case may be. In fact, me giving this talk, this is also my illa ma yurid. It's what Allah has set out, and therefore I am able to sit here and do this with you. Whatever you are doing at this moment, you are able to do it because Allah had willed that it should take place. So, wala yakunu illa ma yurid, and nothing takes place except that which Allah wishes. Continuing on, number 8, he says, la tablughuhu al-awham, wala tudrikuhu al-afham. Now this point number 8 is what we did actually when we did Al-Aqidatul Murshida. It was the same line, which was the same wordings, was used in there as well. He says that no la tablughuhu al-awham, that the people's imagination will not, is, or rather is unable to reach Allah. La tablughuhu al-awham, that no imagination is able to conceive Him. وَلَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَفْهَامِ, and the understanding of people can never comprehend Allah. So لَا تَبْلُغُهُ الْأَوْهَامِ وَلَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَفْهَامِ. And then he says وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامِ, and he does not resemble any of his he does not resemble any created thing. This is, okay, is fall under the chapter of when what we did, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, that there is nothing like unto him. But here is the mushabaha perspective, that Allah, it's now stated more explicitly, that Allah does not resemble anything of the creation. Then he says, حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ قَيُّومٌ لَا يَنَامْ, that Allah is alive and Allah will never die. And Allah is قَيُّوم, meaning that Allah is eternal. قَيُّومٌ لَا يَنَامْ, eternal, and He never sleeps. So Allah is alive and will never die, and Allah is ever eternal and, as you can say, awake and active. That's why لَا يَنَامْ, Allah never sleeps. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نَوْمْ, as is mentioned in Ayatul Kursi, that no, neither sleep nor slumber overtakes Him. Allah never sleeps. Number 11, he says, خَالِقٌ بِلَا حَاجَةٍ رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُؤْنَةٍ, that Allah is the He creates without needing, without, as you can say, there's no need for Allah to create. So, when Allah creates something, we are created, everything, the skies, the arsh, the kursi, the earth, the water, whatever, and everything which is in existence, Allah created it. Because Allah wanted to create it, not because there was any need that Allah needed to create this or to create you or create me or create anything for that matter. And then he says, رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُؤْنَةٍ, that Allah provides the sustenance to all of the creation, بِلَا مُؤْنَةٍ, without any effort. There's no difficulty or hardship, or it, as you can say, it doesn't affect Allah whatsoever in the least. Allah is the creator, and Allah is the sustainer, and Allah is the nourisher, and Allah does whatever He wishes, and it doesn't affect Allah in the least. Unlike us, if we have to give somebody some food, then just for example, it takes effort from our side, it takes money, it takes time, it takes everything, but for Allah, none of these things apply. Last line of page number 3, he says, مُمِيتٌ بِلَا مَخَافَ بَعِثٌ بِلَا مَشَقَّةٌ. He says that Allah gives death, Allah causes people and things to die without any fear. And Allah is the one who resurrects and grants life again without any difficulty. On this point here, مُمِيتٌ بِلَا مَخَافَ, sometimes you feel there's a very affluent person or whatever the case may be. So now you're afraid, or a person close to you, you're afraid, you don't want to cause him, you don't want to cause him to die now or anything. That's not the case. Also, this person is so powerful, nothing like this. Allah causes anyone and everyone to die without any fear whatsoever. And then, ba'ithun bila mashaqqah, that Allah restores life and resurrects anyone and everyone and will resurrect everyone without any difficulty. And this is one of the things which the mushrikeen of Makkah were unable to comprehend and understand, that Allah resurrects people from nothingness without any difficulty. A person is, as you can say, cremated, and there can be nothing left. You can, turn his powder into powder till nothing exists. And in the blink of an eye, Allah can restore that person back to an entire complete human being without any difficulty whatsoever in the least. So that is ba'ithun bila mashaqqa, the resurrector that Allah resurrects without any difficulty. Okay, that's the end of page 3. Moving on to page 4, will be point number 13 from Al-Aqidah to Tahawiyah. But inshallah, we will keep that one for Monday, following next week. Next week again, being an alternate Monday, we will be doing, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, back to the Hadith again. We still busy with the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll be back to that again, inshallah. And the week thereafter, we will be back to Aqidah. And so then, we will continue year onwards from page 4, first line, which is point number 13. And inshallah, we can do it then. If there's any point at any time in the lesson which you were unable to understand, then you can, like I say, you can send in your questions via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio, or alternatively, you can post your questions on Ummah Forum. There's the Ummah Radio section. You can make your own thread there if you want something in particular explained, and inshallah, some time can be taken out to see to all those questions there. So yes, that's if there's anything in the lesson itself that needs explaining. But other than that, on that point inshallah we will end, and we say wa sallallahu wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanak allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.